Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matthew O'Hara.
Hey.
He's Garrett Price.
I can't tell you how many times a second episode I don't have my headphones plugged in.
It's like 50%. It's majority. Yeah, I think it's 51, if anything.
Yeah, probably.
He's the guy everybody asks why he's never on camera, Jared Wackerly.
Hey, Dick.
Hey. So we're back with part two of our rookie wide receiver breakdowns, and let's just dive right into it. If you missed the first episode, go back and listen to that one, because we talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. and Brian Thomas and Garrett's favorite wide receiver, Tez Walker.
My favorite wide receiver.
Quit lying.
Yeah, you love that guy.
Gosh, you guys are the worst.
Highest nerd score out of the three of us. We were talking about it after the show.
Marginally.
Yeah. Still the highest.
5 points.
Okay, well, you guys just hate him.
First up, realistic. Somebody we don't hate, Malik Nabers.
We do not hate him.
Wide receiver LSU, 6 foot, 200 pounds. I don't have any hands, arms, or wingspan.
He has no hands or arms.
That's so weird.
Kevin, that's pretty much how you exist right now with no hands.
He's 20 years old. He'll be 21 in July. I do have that. That is pro day. These are pro day numbers. He ran a 4.35 40-yard dash. He had 129-inch broad jump, 15 bench presses, and a 42-inch vertical. So all those are very, very good numbers.
I have his hand numbers.
Do you?
9 7/8 hands.
Yeah.
31 3/8 inch arms. 76 1/8 wingspan.
I don't know why I didn't have those.
Do you have the bench rep numbers and stuff from his pro day?
I read all those already.
Oh, you just did. Yeah. I was reading the tweet while you did that.
That's okay.
My wife hates that when I'm reading something. I hear nothing else.
You never listen to me. In 13 games last year, he had 89 receptions, 1,569 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, one rush attempt for 1 yard.
Malik Nabers really burst onto the scene this year. Different than Brian Thomas, though. They're both LSU receivers. But Malik Nabers, even though he really improved his draft stock dramatically, he was a name that was being talked about beforehand. He was somebody that was in Devy circles. He was somebody that had been hyped up a little bit.
1,017 yards last year.
Right. So it's
2022.
It's not like he came out of nowhere. Like, this has been building and growing, and this was really just the culmination of all of that time, effort, work that he put in at LSU. And it's interesting, our top two receivers in this class, for most people at least, are Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. Some even have it flipped. Some have Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison.
Lately, a lot of people have it flipped.
They do more than I would expect. I have Marvin Harrison Jr. over Malik Nabers, but there's quite a few people that have it flipped. But they're very different. They're very different players.
Very different.
And that's what makes this really interesting, because I think part of it could be preference of guys liking certain styles of players maybe over others. Where in Marvin Harrison Jr., you have that traditional X receiver. He's got the body type. He's got the wingspan. He can high point the ball, contested catch, like a lot of those types of things. Malik Nabers is going to be the guy that is going to be an absolute yak monster. Yards after the catch is where he just truly differentiates himself from a lot of the other players in this class. The stuff that he does over the middle, and he can line up anywhere.
Yep.
You watch him, he'll line up on the outside, he'll line up at the X, at the Z, in the slot. He can line up anywhere. And I didn't see a big drop-off personally with where it was. It wasn't like
he's basically 50-50 between out wide and in the slot as far as his snaps the past at least 2 years. His first year, he was almost exclusively out of the slot, or, mm-hmm. or 2021, yeah, almost exclusively out of the slot. But other than that, he's been moving all around.
So, yeah, so he's a guy that can – succeed anywhere, so it doesn't really matter what team drafts him, what their need, like, he'll fit. Yep. which is a really, really good thing for him. Very bursty player, very quick player. He can break a lot of tackles. He's got really good body control. His release off the line were impressive for a guy that also plays on the inside. I didn't see any drop off in his release when he was on the outside. So there was a lot to like in his game. There wasn't a lot to really nitpick. There were a few things I thought for a guy that wasn't as big as the Brian Thomases and the Marvin Harrison Juniors. I was surprised that he didn't do a very good job of like sinking his hips on his route running at times. You would see him even slip at times because of that. He was just playing too high. The nice part about that is that's not a super
the old Miss game in particular. I felt like he slipped like three times in that game.
Yes,
caused an interception for a return at one of them.
Yeah, and the good part is though that's coachable. Like that's something you can fix. That's not a terribly difficult thing to fix there. Brian Thomas is a completely different story. You stop it right now. The other small knock that I had was I was surprised he wasn't a little more physical at times, and I thought he was decently physical with the ball in his hands, but it was in some of his route running, and specifically when he played on the outside, it seemed like DBs were very easily able to push him to the sideline. I would have liked to have seen him play with some more physicality, maybe make some moves there. He was pushed to the sideline a little bit more on some of those vertical routes than I would have liked to have seen, but those are small things, not things that are overly big concerns, but I had to find something because overall he's a really good prospect.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I think what he maybe lacks in some other areas as far as his route running, he makes up for in his explosion, you know, so he's able to get away with some of that stuff. He's really good in and out of breaks. The one knock I would say about, he can jump. He's got a 42 inch vert. He's not like a guy that's ever going to be a jump ball type of guy. I didn't see a lot of that to his game.
He's fine there.
Yeah, he's fine, I just don't think that's you're never going to throw a ball up and
he's not your jump
in the corner or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like he's not going to be a touchdown machine from that.
He attacks it well.
He's okay. That was another thing. I didn't love him when defenders were in tight. I thought he struggled at times catching the ball there. I think his hands are good overall.
I agree, and that was kind of the physicality thing, which was weird because I thought he was physical as a runner more than he was as a receiver.
You just want a little bit more. That's mine. You know what I mean? That's my bone.
Yeah.
A little bit more dog in him. The explosions there, the yards after the catch is there, all the pieces you want to have a number one receiver have, he's got, other than those small little things that we're kind of nitpicking. So I don't know. How do you feel about this guy, Richard? I feel like you're waiting.
I put a lot of time into his tape because I've seen so many people lately come out and say, Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one. And I was like, okay, for somebody who've already watched Marvin Harrison Jr., everything, I'm like, okay, what makes him better than Marvin Harrison Jr.? So, like, we have a lot of tape on him in the film room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the time. I'm going to watch every single game in here. So I watched 8 games on him, I believe. So I wanted to find out what I was going to miss or what was going to excite me. And I want to say that by saying, I want to start off by saying he's a very special football player.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be a top 10 player. I said at the beginning of the show, him and Adunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. all had the potential to be wide receiver ones and high end up into that next tier, right? But I went into this like, okay, I'm going to be very critical because when you got a nitpick, when you're talking about guys of this caliber going this high in your rookie drafts, and you're willing to take him over a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., who we talked about last show, who we think's generational, I had to see what everybody else is saying. And one of the things that caught me off guard is, because I went outside the tape, then I started reading like why other people were saying, I want to see why other people were saying he's the number one guy. And one of the things that caught me, one of the first things I watched was a video that just came out this week, was Steve Smith, who's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, said, watching him run routes is like watching Picasso paint without a paintbrush. And I'm like, that kind of blew me away a little bit. I'm like, he's not even the best route runner in his class. I was like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a better route runner than him. Ladd McConkey's a better route runner than him.
Odunze, definitely.
Odunze's a better route runner than him. And that's not even saying that's not saying he's a bad route runner.
No. He's got explosion that some of those other guys don't have.
And he, dude, his burst off the line and his be able to stop and go. Like my favorite play from him that I saw, I wish I would have wrote down what team it was. Like he broke to the outside of the line and a quarterback threw the ball as soon as he broke and he broke right back in and he like boxed out the defender and caught it with like one hand and brought it in. Didn't do anything after the play, but it was like my favorite play that he did it. I was like, that's a true wide receiver one play. But I didn't see this like elite route running. Like I saw instances where he was not sinking his hips, like you said, and like it cost him the slip sometimes. He is so fast.
Right.
But I saw some drops from him as well. Like, mm-hmm. I saw some drops from him. Like, his hands weren't, like, elite hands. But he has really good hands. So, like...
He has good hands, but again, he's got issues.
I am nitpicking here to the highest degree. Because this guy's a stud. By any means, he's my wide receiver, too, right now. I'm going to dig more into Odunze. But, like, I tweet out, like, him and Odunze, from what I've seen already on Odunze, because I've watched a lot of Odunze, too, is... Him and Odunze are way closer together than they are to Marvin Harrison Jr. for me. And that's no knock on neighbors. It's more of a compliment on Odunze because I've been talking to Odunze since November. He is a stud, getting the ball in his hands. He's going to be a top 10 pick, but he is not a perfect wide receiver by any means. No. And he's a really good receiver, and he's going to be the number one receiver on the team. And I would be very excited to have him on my dynasty roster. He'll probably be, once you draft him on your roster, he'll probably immediately be one of the best players on your team because there's not a lot of receivers, I would imagine, with where he's going to get drafted, opportunity he's going to get in a skill set that he has where he's not going to be a fantasy football stud. So there's not like many receivers I would draft ahead of him right now if we were doing a startup draft. Like, I would take all the stud guys that we think of there, but like he starts to fall in the category of like, I would still take Amon-Ra St. Brown over Malik Nabers. So that should tell
easily.
You. Yeah, that should tell you something right there. You know what I mean? Like, is he wide receiver 5, 6, 7, 8? You know, like, but now I'll take him ahead of Devontae Smith, and I love Devontae Smith. But, like, Devontae Smith's situation will be different than where Malik Nabers goes.
Garrett Wilson and Nabers.
They're very close. Like, to the play, like, they're very similar players. He's got more burst than Garrett Wilson. So
Garrett Wilson had more... I think body control and leaping ability.
Correct.
And contested catch. That
but they're to me, in my eyes, those are similar prospects, right? Like Garrett Wilson and Malik Nabers are very similar prospect in my eyes. But I don't see him as like, I see Marvin Harrison Jr. like for sure, like he has a chance to be wide receiver one overall. I can see Malik Nabers getting there, but like, I could see it clear as day with Marvin Harrison Jr. The way, like, I see Marvin Harrison Jr. dominating man-on-man, like, one-on-one coverage. Malik Nabers would probably do well, too. But, like, again, there's just very minute things in his route running and some things that he does. And, like you said, some his contested catch, I'm totally fine with it. But there's just a couple things he could just kind of clean up to be that pure, like, transcendent receiver. Like, there's other receivers I've seen that are, like, Garrett Wilson would be on par with him. You know, guys like AJ Green and Julio Jones were clearly better in my eyes than him.
For what it's worth, I mentioned how Marvin Harrison Jr., all the guys, all the prospects that I've ranked, he's the top guy.
Yep.
For right now, on that same list, I would have him, I think he's seventh of all the guys over the past 5 years. So still very high, yeah. Assuming in that list, you know, there's Garrett Wilson's in there and CeeDee Lamb's in there. Like, there's some really good players, but not the same level.
And I just want to reel back that like I don't think like all these pundits out there saying he's wide receiver one. Clearly, this is pretty simple. It's not even like, oh yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., but this guy wins differently. Like I'm looking at this from a long term fantasy football stud standpoint, and he's one of those guys for sure. But like where I'm totally okay taking Marvin Harrison Jr. over Jaden Daniels, what for sure? I don't know if I would take like Nabers over Jaden Daniels, with Jaden Daniels going number two to the Commanders over any. Almost any circumstance. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would probably always take Jaden Daniels at 3, if not 2.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm trying to piece it all together in my brain.
It's just like...
But yes, I would take any quarterback in Superflex over a guy like Malik Nabers, because I think there'll be another Malik Nabers in next year or maybe the year after his draft.
You could trade up for Roma Dunze.
They're very good players. Don't get me wrong. I just... There's always going to be one of those guys coming down the line. Whereas if you hit on the quarterback, you're solid.
3 years, Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State will be a better prospect than Malik Nabers.
It's tough to say as a prospect, but he does freaking
that
good.
That kid is
stud.
I think he was the quickest ever to lose a stripe.
Right? He was the quickest.
Yeah, the way they're talking about him is like, whoa.
I was watching his high school tape because he's crazy. In high school. And then I watched his like early practices already at Ohio State. I'm like, oh, my, this guy is like,
Julio.
Yeah, he's the next great, like how we're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., like he's that, like he has that kind of potential. Like he blows my mind already as a true freshman.
Yeah, Jeremiah Smith has a 81.3 for me right now, so I'm just.
So, yeah, I mean, I love Malik Nabers. He's definitely, as of right now, like, we'll talk about next week, after we break down Roman Odunze, where he stands with, and I can't wait to see what Matt says about Odunze, because I really do feel Matt's going to fall in love with Odunze. And in my head, I already hear, like, yeah, I kind of like Justin Jefferson. So many times where Matt chimes in, where, like, people say Malik Nabers is number one, and Matt goes like, I'd actually take Odunze ahead of Nabers. Like, I can just hear it in my head already.
Spoiler alert. My nerd score for Odunze is higher.
I know you've been, like, I've been doing messing, your own nerd
messing
score
around
on the side.
With these. Yeah.
What's
so
yours for Nabers?
It's 77.75 for Nabers. So it's a good score. I had 83, a little bit over 83 for Marvin Harrison. So they're, to me, it's they're not even really close.
Yeah. As no, far I'm, as, I'm, I think we're all in agreement here. The main difference for me is just the way he plays. I mean, David Zach did a like correlation breakdown of our nerd score grades from a category standpoint and body control, and was the leading like highest correlating factor to fantasy success, which was surprising. But like looking back at it, like all the guys that you see at the top of the game right now, like Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson, they all have that trait in their game like Marvin Harrison does. And Malik Nabers, he has a little bit of it, but it's not anywhere on the level of those guys.
He's good at it. He's not great at it.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember when David did that study, and I was like, well, we'll see how that like still plays out, because our top guy and because it was four categories, the top four categories were body control, route running, hands, and release, and like those four just crushed almost everything else. And our top three guys in last year's class were Jackson Smith and Jigba, which made sense. I was like, okay, but then the next one, I was like, I don't know how well this is going to translate. It ended up translating pretty good because Tank Dell was the next one, and then Josh Downs. So it once again proved like those things are pretty dang important for NFL players.
Yeah, they translate. And again, so Malik, I'm just emphasizing this because if you're on Twitter and you're in the community, you're going to see a lot of people say Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one. And I feel way better about it because none of you guys came in here and said, oh, no, he's my wide receiver one, too, which I thought was a possibility. I really did.
Yeah, he's not a bad player. He's a really good player.
He's a top 10 pick, probably. Yes, I guess. Yeah. We all like him. I see that.
Yes, yep. I completely understand it.
He's 100% elite. Like, yes. He is an elite player. I don't want anybody who watches or listens to the show to fall in that trap and to take him ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. or potentially take him ahead of an elite quarterback. And, you know, honestly, even potentially we get there, Brock Bowers might be safer at the tight end position, who's dominant. So it's a very good class, and he's a part of that puzzle that makes it a really good class, but he's not in the same tier as Marvin Harrison Jr. It's my opinion, and it sounds like your guys too, which makes me feel a little bit better about it.
I think I know this answer, but I want to ask it, this question anyway. Is there any scenario where Malik Nabers leapfrogs
Marvin
Harrison?
Zero.
Not in my drafts for me.
You mean like draft like capital?
Draft capital. Hey, this guy lands here, that guy lands
like
there.
Worst case scenario would be like, so in the year, like it would go.
Nabers goes to the Chargers.
Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Patriots.
Sure.
And then Nabers goes to the Chargers.
Sure.
Like that in my eyes, the top of the draft, like possibilities, that's like the worst case possibility. And I would still take Marvin Harrison Jr.
I agree.
At least make you pause.
No, I wouldn't even pause.
Yeah.
I would still take Marvin Harrison Jr.
You'd press play.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bailey Zappe.
And then I'd be traded for Jacoby Brissett.
Well, let's see what else the Patriots would do in the draft.
Yeah. So, obviously there's no way the Patriots can pass up a quarterback here when this quarterback class is way stronger than next year's class. So
make my mock look better.
Dude, Penix and Marvin Harrison Jr.? I'd like that.
I would like that too.
Hot dog, you hate all the quarterbacks.
I hate them all. Don't get me grumpy, dude. We're talking wide receivers, and I'm happy. Don't get me grumpy, man.
Jane Daniels, bro. The dude, you like Jane Daniels?
No, I do. I'm just generally grumpy about all the quarterbacks.
Hey, Dynasty nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, best ball, super flex, triflex, one QB, and standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so moving on.
Bo Nix, you love Bo Nix.
Let's talk about 6 foot. The guy who's 6 foot next.
What if I? He's not. He's 5 foot 11 and 5/8.
6 foot.
Gotcha. 3/8.
That's probably what I am, but I say I'm 6 foot. So
yeah, fair. Yeah, base me too. Led McConkie,
6'1", bitch.
Georgia, 6'3". Wide receiver, 5'11 and 5/8 inches, 186 pounds. 8 5/8 inch hands, 30 1/4 inch arms, 72 inch wingspan. He's 22. He'll be 23 in November. He ran a 4.39 with a 1.52 10-yard split. That was the 40 yard time. Sorry. in the 20-yard shuttle at his pro day, I got a couple of different numbers. One was like a 3.94. The other was a 4.04. You know how pro days are.
Yeah.
The three cone was 6.72, though. Very impressive. A broad jump of 124 inches, bench press 13 reps, vertical 36 inches. Last year in 9 games, he had 30 receptions, 478 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, 2 rushes for 38 yards, and an additional touchdown. Rich takes
the floor. Stronger than Brian Thomas. 2 more reps. Listen, I came away...
His face.
Absolutely.
This is a guy.
This lad right this here. This
lad
is.
You think he's Irish? You think he's Irish?
Yeah, that one gives it away. He to me, this screams PPR monster.
You're a
PPR stud. I absolutely loved his tape. I came away. I watched all the film I could possibly get my hands on because he's my wide receiver 4 in this class. He's right
so
behind.
So far.
But honestly, like, if somebody passes him up, kudos, because this is something I'm very excited about. This is my, you know, outside the running backs where they go, where I'm saying 1-9, like, if I have 1-9, I'm very excited to get, like, I don't feel like there's a drop-off to me, because I'm really excited about getting Ladd McConkie. This is a player I hope, and I think should, sneak into the first round of the NFL draft. I know Jared said he didn't see a first-round grade on him for NFL draft. I see somebody, man, that wins at all different levels. The way he explodes off the line is his burst is good. His fast. He's fast. He gets off the line so quick. He sinks his hips so well. He's an absolutely tremendous route runner. Mm-hmm. And not only is he a good route runner, his yards after the catch are really good too, because he shows that on tape. Like, he gets the ball and he makes defenders miss. Like, he's loose out there in that field. His short area quickness is absolutely tremendous. And obviously, you know, you can see with his 40 time, he's fast. It also shows up in his gauntlet, which is why the gauntlet's one of my favorite drills, like how his speed showed up there in the gauntlet, yep, as well.
Absolutely.
I thought he tracked the ball really well. He could play on the slot. He could play outside. He could play anywhere you want him. He's constantly stacking his defenders and just making a miss and manipulating the defenders at all times. His route running is so... It's so crisp. Like, it's such a good thing to watch. Like, it's
it is good, man.
And what I love about players like him is they always translate to fantasy success, because they always get open. Like, they're always getting open. And listen, he's not the strongest guy. He had some injuries.
His numbers are kind of meh.
That's my biggest question about the dude. Like, where was the actual production?
The problem is it's Georgia.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I ended up in my brain saying. I was like, the problem is this is Georgia.
See, and that's why I don't, like, when I look at, that's why I like, I'm a tape guy and I like watching tape because, like, tape, you're not hearing what down it is. You're not hearing anything. You're not hearing the stats. Like, you're watching that player every time. And what I saw on tape translates to a fantasy football player. This is somebody that can win on all three levels, who can consistently get open, who I think he'll go, I hope he goes in the back end of the first to a really, like, him on the Chiefs would be gross. I think now in the Bills would be gross. I mean, there's a lot of situations where he can go to and find success. And if somehow he slips the second round, he goes to a place like the Chargers, like 6 to midnight all day. Like,
oh, he'd fill the Keenan Allen role very well.
I mean, and what I loved about him is he was consistent, right? Like, every snap, he is all in. Every single snap. And he blocks, he's given effort downfield. Yep. Like, he is all in every single snap, and he's exploding and showing that burst and speed and agility every single snap. I came away absolutely in love with this tape. I love this player. I think he's a stud. Now, saying that, like, I don't want to come out and say, this guy's a wide receiver one. Now, if he turned into a wide receiver one, like, a year here and there, like, it wouldn't shock me, but this guy is definitely, to me, screams wide receiver two. Like, he's a wide receiver two consistently for the next 8 to 10 years. Like, that's how good of a route runner he is. He's got good size. Like, he's not overly thick. Hopefully he can grow into that just a little bit. But he's 6 foot. I don't care what you say. He's 6 foot when you put the cleats on. He's 186, but you add a little bit of weight there. But, you know, the fact that he has the size, he shows his broad jump, 10 foot 4 inches. He shows how explosive he is there.
Yep.
His tape, I love it when I get excited watching somebody's tape. And I get excited about a player like this, and like, he's one of those guys.
Listen, there are times that you're watching a guy and there's one way that they win. They can only beat zone coverage, or you can only beat man coverage going deep. He wins in a lot of different ways, which is nice. You know, he has all the underneath routes. He can gain separation just because he's got a ton of burst and quickness in and out of his breaks. But what I love is that he's smart enough to sit down in all the zones. He's very quarterback friendly, which is what we love as fantasy, people that play fantasy sports. You want to be able to show the numbers to a quarterback, get those cheap points, those quick points. So I do think he's a guy that is going to be able to gobble up PPR points pretty frequently, pretty easily. I don't know that he's going to be a wide receiver one. I think it would have to be a pretty perfect scenario for that to happen. Likely he's going to be a wide receiver two. There might be a time when he starts off as a wide receiver three, you know, until he establishes himself in whatever offense he is getting himself into. And the reason I think that is, you know, you look at his numbers, it's a numbers driven game. It took him a little bit to get established here. He only played 9 games last season. So last season's numbers are a little bit skewed. But I could see it. He starts off as a wide receiver three, kind of works himself into a second, you know, hey, you're the second option in the offense type of role. And that's when he could blossom into that wide receiver two and possibly touch wide receiver one numbers if everything goes crazy his way.
If Cole Beasley can kind of sneak in there.
That's what I mean. Like that's the scenario. That's the scenario where it would have to be for him to get there, in my opinion.
I want to bring it back a little bit. I'm like, this guy's a wide receiver one. I don't want to say that, but this is somebody, he's a championship caliber player. That, like, if he's your wide receiver three on your team, you're doing great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, you know, I mimic and will say a lot of the same things, so I'm not going to repeat myself that Rich already said, but he's great in and out of breaks. He's very crisp route runner. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's good in zone coverage against zone coverage, just kind of sitting down in those areas. So there's not a lot to knock the guy. I mean, he's a little bit on the small side, but he's not small. He's 5'11" and 5'8".
There's a couple plays where he made with the ball in his hands, like his yard after catch, where he made defenders look silly. Like, I wish I could remember what team it was to where he like made like three for, he ran for a touchdown and he caught it probably at like the 30.
He's a
and made three different defenders just look silly.
He's a creator with the ball in his hands. Yes. Like we talked about Brian Thomas and even Marvin Harrison Jr., they'll get what's there. He's a guy that can create something. So he's a completely different type of wide receiver.
Not quite to the Malik Nabers level, but
no.
But I had a really healthy score on him. He got a 76 for me, which is a really solid score. Just for reference, I mentioned it before, but 78.78 for Malik Nabers, which is top 10 all time. So 76,
pretty good.
Pretty good number there. Nice. Overall, a lot of the stuff you said, I echo. I think one of the things that I feel good about Ladd McConkey is he's the type of player that is less risky than some of the other players.
Correct.
Now, maybe he doesn't have as much upside as some other guys, but the floor is so high with him that you feel really good about drafting him. You know that you're going to be able to, at some point, maybe it's not as a rookie, but in the near future, be able to plug him into your lineup. And he's going to consistently get you points. And he seems like a next level processor. You see it in the open field because I don't think he has crazy moves, but it's almost like he's reading things like a running back does. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to watch him play. But even with his moves, you can tell that he is a student of the game, and you can tell that he spent time watching his opponents because he does little things to get his opponents that. I'm assuming, and this is an assumption on my part, but weaknesses in their game, nuances that the DBs had.
That's a good call.
That I think he's able to exploit those things. Because it seems like, even though it doesn't seem like he's moving at a breakneck speed like some of these other guys are, he's always open and he's always creating separation. So it really seems like, you know, I don't know what his like testing scores, his cognitive numbers and all of that, but it seems like his ability to be able to process the game is just at a different level than other guys.
And I think some of that shows up in his own stuff because he just knows.
He always knows where to be.
He knows instinctively. That spot right there is open. I got to go there. I got to go turn right, show my numbers to the quarterback, and bam, the ball's right on him. You know what I mean? So that I do think he's got a lot of elements that will translate pretty quickly. I don't think it's going to be a huge learning curve for him to go to the NFL and kind of have some success. But at the same time, I don't – draft capital, what are you guys hearing, seeing?
I'm
what do you
hearing
think?
Possibly late first, okay. if not very well, high second.
Then it won't take long for him to get established, as long as I think.
I've read him. I've seen him go to the Chiefs at the back end of the first. I've seen him go to the Bills. I've seen him go – in some mock drafts, because it's real. You see Adonai Mitchell, you see Troy Franklin, you see Xavier Worthy. Like, it's a hodgepodge of guys go there. But if he doesn't go in the first, he's going very high second. Okay. Like, top 10 in the second. So he's going to a good situation regardless. Either going to a team that's established or he's going to a team that needs help.
Well, that's good because, I mean, sometimes I see stuff on tape that I love and, you know, this is my first time doing scores as far as the nerder. And you know, sometimes it lines up with draft capital. Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. But it sounds like this one, at least, because I have a fairly good score for him as well.
Is he your wide receiver four so far of the guys we watched?
Of the guys that we've watched and talked about, he's actually three. Because I have him ahead of Brian Thomas.
Well,
oh, yeah. I mean, but
Dunze. Okay, yeah, then four.
Yeah.
I have another guy.
You had Mitchell four.
Huh?
Do you have Mitchell for?
I do, but we haven't talked about him, so that's why I wasn't counting him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Tez Walker had to have been up there somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, there's other guys to talk about, like, you know, the guys that we're going up and come and talk that could probably challenge him are going to be like Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Adonai Mitchell is going to be one of those guys that could kind of come in here. I'm missing somebody else too, right? It's gotten some, a lot of first grade.
Keon Coleman, a little, he's getting some. I love
Brian
him.
Thomas.
A lot of people. So, what do you think?
Just some names for our combined nerd score for who Ladd McConkey is around. Is T. Higgins, Zay Flowers, George Pickens, Jordan Addison, Chris Olave. So some really good numbers. Some really good guys there. So, I mean, just looking at that, I was texting back and forth with Rich the other night, and I said that I don't see a first-round grade on him, but, like, now looking at just how the numbers can't kind of spit out, I like to see that, and, I mean, those guys, most of them are first-round picks. So, kind of like what Rich is saying, late first, early second, I can definitely see that. One of the best route runners in the class, easily, can win on the outside, can win on the inside. I like that. I think that he's more of like a wide receiver two within an offense. That's just how I kind of see him, almost like a Chris Olave, actually, like the way that he plays. No, I like him just like you guys. My only knock on him was I saw him double catch a lot, like his hands. I don't know if you guys saw the same thing.
No, I didn't see that at all.
I
saw a couple. I wouldn't say
have
I saw
like a lot. He didn't have a super high grade for me on his hands, but it was like still not bad. You know, he didn't see him make any drops.
I don't think he dropped hardly anything.
Just didn't look as
natural.
I thought
I saw neighbors drop more than I thought saw him drop.
I didn't see him drop seven.
I think I saw him
he
drop
got seven in that category for me. It's not bad. So anyway, yeah, I'm right there with you guys on Ladd. He got almost a 74 for me. So
nice.
Good grade. I like him. I think he'll, right now he's my wide receiver four, I believe. Only five.
Credited with two drops.
Wide receiver five.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw a note on here too. Lance Zierlin, when he does his scouting reports, he always talks to like scouting people.
Yeah.
It's funny now that you say that, because I have a note on here. It says from his scouting report, it says, from an NFL scouting director, really smart. You can tell he watches a ton of tape with how good he is at picking up and how to attack guys he's facing.
Love it.
That's from NFC NFL scouting director. So that's...
He was probably quoting me, but that's fine. I'll let the NFC scout take it.
So good prospect. To me, locked in the first round of your rookie drafts is a better way to say it. Forget the NFL drafts. To me, he's locked in. Right now, I would probably take him right around pick 9. After running backs get drafted, probably right around pick 10, around there. Which is great, because if you're a contender, you're getting somebody like who I said earlier, like if he comes in as your wide receiver three, you're in a good spot. Like, so if you're a contender, this is a great guy to go out there and get.
Yep, here's a nice spot.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use... Nice. The trade calculator, and my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and have a good time. You have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right, so next up, Jalen Polk. Wide receiver, Washington, 6'1" 3/8", 203 pounds, 9 3/4" hands, 31 3/4" arms, 74.5" wingspan. He's 21 years old. He'll be 22 on the 11th, or did he just wait? What's the date?
Yeah, he'll be on 22 on the 11th.
On the 11th, okay. Yeah. He ran a 4.52 in the 40. He ran a 1.52 in the 10-yard split. 129-inch broad jump, 37.5-inch vertical.
It's a good broad jump.
So really good broad jump, pretty decent vertical as well. Last year in 15 games, he had 69 receptions, 1,159 yards receiving, and 9 touchdowns. He had nine touchdowns. He had four rushing attempts for 32 yards and another touchdown.
All right, so Jalen Polk, he was I don't know if I can call him Robin or not officially, because there were three receivers there in Washington that were all really talented, and clearly Batman was Romo Odunze. Yeah. So we'll see after we watch McMillan, who we think Robin actually was. The one can be like,
what's the butler's name? No, what's the butler's name?
Alfred.
Alfred.
The other one can be Alfred. Yeah. I know there's like 18 more Batman characters that have come out since, but regardless. So Jalen Polk, really talented as far as contested catches.
Catch point.
I mean, he was all over it.
Yes.
Yeah. That was where he would win. You box a guy out.
Yep.
Go up and get the football.
Some of the best hands in the class.
High point it. Like, it was really fun to watch. Yeah, I have a very high grade on
that. That's my number one thing for him. I was like, someone you can count on to make a catch.
Yeah.
That's my number one thing, Adam.
Yep. It's even more physical than you would expect. Like, because he doesn't have that frame of like a huge bulky guy, but I mean, he played very physical brand of football, very bully ball style, not an overly explosive player.
Nope. Oh God, no.
He didn't do a ton in the open field. His release was a little disappointing for me.
Dude, I'm sorry to cut you off.
You're fine.
I agree.
Cause after he gets past the line, like it's a player, like you don't mind. He was painful to watch to get off the line.
I don't remember it being that bad. I'm going to have to go back and look.
Dude.
He has a pretty low score.
It was so bad, I got obsessed with it.
Okay.
Like,
obsessed.
Obsessed.
See, like, I didn't have it that bad.
Oh, dude.
I had it.
Actually, it's like, one of his lowest scores that I gave him.
If you go back and watch Jalen Polk's film, and all you focus on, and I trust me because I did this, is him getting off the line. It's the same. He almost rocks into it. Like, he like hikes the ball. He like rocks into getting off the line. Painfully slow. And it was one of those things where it's like, oh, like he wasn't going to ball. Every single snap.
He's not a
painfully slow. Could have been the slowest person I've ever seen get off the line in the history of mankind.
He's not very explosive, and he's not very crisp in his routes. So I was focused on that.
He's not a great route runner.
Yeah.
I got obsessed with the line. It was bad.
And he is one of those guys that does seem to take some plays off. You watch him on the backside of some plays, and he's usually standing there walking and stuff like that, which I don't love to see.
Me neither.
You see it a lot more these days. Than you do see.
It's becoming more and more prevalent, unfortunately.
It's because of the offenses, the way they're...
Way they're designed to read half the field, and they know the ball's
not coming.
Get
your breath for the next play.
Yeah, like, you know when he's not getting the ball.
Yes.
Like, you do. Like, it's like he's like...
So
and maybe we overstress that now.
Maybe we do. Maybe we're too old school curmudgeons.
They're allowing it for a reason now, you know, like...
Maybe. But all that to be said, I think he's an interesting prospect. He didn't get a great score for me, 69.53, which isn't a death sentence, but it's not a great score either.
I got just over the 70 mark.
Okay. So we're in a similar ballpark there for him. I think he does his certain things well, and I think there will be a role for him. But the biggest issue is going to be he's got to figure out how to get off the line to be able to make those contested catches at the next level. Because if he can't, it's not going to happen.
Historically, man, like...
It's
these kind of guys always grade decently in the nerd score. They never pan out. Like the catch point guys. Like that's their thing. Like Jonathan Adams.
I'm not going to go out of my way to get this guy. And I love him at the catch point.
He's fantastic.
Me too.
He is fantastic. I'm not usually like, hey, this guy, like, I don't usually really love a guy and like give a crap. Like, all right, you're good at it. Okay. He is really, really good at it. But I can't see how, I can't in my mind picture how he's going to win in the NFL. I don't see how he's going to get on the field. He's
so lackadaisical.
He just doesn't run good enough routes. He's not explosive enough. Who is going to trust him enough to get him on the field and then throw him the ball?
If he gets drafted by the same team as Michael Penix.
Where's his acceleration at? You know what I mean? Like, agree. It's, like, he high point. Like,
it's in the gene pool. He didn't get it.
That's why I said my number one note on here is someone you could count on to make a catch for sure. But then right after that, right, at the very best, he turns into a wide receiver two for the team. But he's probably, his best is probably going to be a good wide receiver three on a team. And that's because I don't know how he wins off the line. I just don't know how
he profiles.
The game moves too fast in NFL
as
for him.
He's
a wide receiver three. He's a Tyler Boyd.
Yep.
He's a big slot.
He's a big slot.
Yeah.
He's a big old sloppy slot.
Big old slot.
Yeah, it's
thinking the same thing. And
again, this is somebody who didn't do anything until his fourth year, right? Like, he didn't break out to his fourth year. So it's just the speed and everything is not there, which kind of sucks because he does dominate at one special thing.
That specific
here.
Thing is really good.
And here's the like, end all, running a 4.52 is not an end all be all.
No, it's not a bad time.
It's not a bad time. It's just on the field. He's not fast.
No.
And he's not explosive in and out of breaks. He doesn't run crisp routes. Like, he's just not.
He's not off my board.
Yeah.
I'm interested because I hear that he's going to get day two draft capital, like round three is what I'm hearing.
Really?
That's what I'm hearing.
Listen, David Bell did too.
Knows that those
You're right. Rangers. Remember, a lot of people like David Bell. And
we did not.
Boy, did we do on David Bell.
And then the Browns drafted him.
Yeah. And we still do on David Bell. So, we did. Yeah. I mean, this is somebody like I would probably take in the fourth round of my rookie draft.
Listen, I don't even know that I'd bother.
See, at that point, it's more of a positional thing for me. Like, unless I think a guy is special in the fourth round, I'd rather just have, give me backup quarterbacks and backup running backs and hope that they become something.
Me too. I'm not.
It sucks because, like.
Because he does that one thing really well.
And once he gets going, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find somebody over the next couple weeks that we like.
Yeah,
that will take in those ranges. More.
And that's the thing. Out of all the guys we're watching, it's like, oh, this guy's like in the middle.
Because these next few really suck.
These next few are bad.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Dude. All right, so let's get on to somebody I don't like much of anything about. Isaiah Williams, wide receiver.
You like sending the gifts.
Huh?
You like sending the gifts.
What gifts?
Of the wrong guy.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yeah. What was the other guy?
I think it was Isaiah Wilson.
Isaiah Wilson
said it was.
Who was an offensive lineman a couple of years ago. I've been like, whoa, dude, this guy's going to look really slow off the line, I can tell.
But the physicality numbers, through the roof.
Through the roof. Anyway, back to Isaiah Williams. 5'9¼", 182 pounds, 9 1/8 inch hands, 30 1/8 inch arms, 72 3/4 inch. He's 23 years old. Yeah, he ran a 4. It doesn't matter, guys.
4.63
in a 40, 1.59 in the 10-yard split.
He had a good broad jump.
He had a really good three cone. Yeah. He had 6.75, 123-inch broad, 17 bench press reps, 38-inch vertical. Last year, he had in 12 games, 82 receptions, 1,055 yards, 5 touchdowns. How the heck did he have that much production? I don't think I noticed.
One was he scored one I saw, I think it was on an end of round.
I don't know how he got 1,000 yards.
I don't either, man.
So this is a former quarterback who played at Illinois for
2 years.
For 2 years he was a quarterback, 2019, 2020, and then he made the conversion over to wide receiver for 21, 22, and 23.
Yeah, no, I mean,
anything who's up on this guy?
Rich is up.
The fact that once I read that he played quarterback for 2 years,
yeah,
it made a lot more sense that why he doesn't know how to play wide receiver. Like,
I agree.
His route running wasn't good. His hands are just okay.
He's another gadget.
If the ball's not on him, like, he struggles. Like, if the ball's not right on it, like, on him, like, he struggles.
He's not a natural wide receiver. He looks really, really good with the ball in his hands.
He's fun to watch, the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He is.
He's electric there.
Yep.
But, like, I don't know how he gets the ball in his hands in the NFL. That's the problem.
He won't.
I will say he looked faster than the 4.64.
I agree with that.
He did not look that slow. Like, I was kind of surprised when I saw that time because I don't think that.
I think it says the 44 hitting was like this. And then ran.
That makes sense. So he lost some time there.
He was an odd guy in that Yeah, there was at times he looked freaking lost pre-snap, like awareness at zero. Like he's pointing and they're snapping the ball. He's like looking at the sidelines and all this. And that was before I knew that he used to be a wide receiver. I mean, he used to be a quarterback before he was a wide receiver.
He used to be a wide receiver too.
So in my brain, not like originally, I'm like, this guy's got no awareness. He doesn't know what the hell's happening pre-snap. And they're snapping the ball. He's not even focused or paying attention. And now I'm thinking he might just be trying to tell other people what to do. Like maybe he wasn't pointing at the sideline.
Maybe he's next level.
Maybe he's next leveling it and trying to micromanage the other wide receivers.
Because he knows everything.
I don't know what it was, but it was enough. I saw enough of it that I was like, Jesus, like get yourself together before the snap, man. Like you got to be ready when they call go. But yeah. Anyway, there's not a lot that I like about this guy.
There's no refinement there whatsoever.
I don't have a lot of other notes. I liked his quickness and I liked his yards after the catch.
Do you think he gets drafted?
Isaiah Williams.
If he does, it's seventh round.
And it's as a punt returner.
So yeah. Kick returner.
Because I think he could do that and win.
Although I remember reading that he did struggle with some fumbles.
He dropped punts. Three muff punts
okay.
over the last few years.
Well, then never mind.
I'd rather have Rasheen Ali.
Yeah, you would.
I'd rather have
so Tez Walker. Every NFL team.
Whoa, slow down, Rich.
I mean, that's I do have a higher score for Tez Walker.
It's you bad. Love Tez Walker. And I'm not going to lie, the next two guys are bad.
They're too. Really bad.
Yeah. But like
Jordan,
the rest isn't as bad.
Who
but
put Isaiah this lineup together?
Jordan, I'm just going to get into it so we can get done with it. All right. Jordan Whittington, Texas wide receiver, 6'5".
Poor man's Jalen Polk.
205 pounds, 10-inch hands, 30 3/8-inch arms, 73 5/8-inch wingspan. He's 24 years old already.
I feel like he's been at Texas forever.
Because he has been. He bench pressed 18 times last year in 14 games. He caught 42 balls, 505 yards, one touchdown.
Physical player.
Yes, he is. He's a very physical player.
That is all.
He has.
He'll go jump ball. Get it.
My highest physicality score.
Yeah, like.
8.5 on the physicality scale. He has the highest number so far on all of that. But there's a lot. Other than that, I have a high contested catch,
he can't
and I
move.
Thought his releases were decent.
He can't move. Give me a break. No. I watched him try to juke somebody in the open field, and he fell over. He fell over.
Dude, no burst.
Trying to juke somebody else out.
He has my lowest burst, my lowest rich quickness, my lowest locals. Game speed, and my lowest route running. And surprisingly, my overall lowest score.
Me
at 57.5.
58.
Catches the ball away from his body.
Stiff as a board.
Dude, yeah. Not
this is stiff. This guy's stiff.
Yeah. Like
this guy can't move.
He can't run routes.
No.
Like he's not
he won't be drafted.
He's not getting drafted. So Jordan Whittington, don't draft him.
Nope.
I don't even know why we even watched this tape.
We should have watched.
Was thinking that the whole time. The whole Marcus time. I'm like, why Jackson. The hell am I wasting my time on this?
Why are you telling us that now, Jared?
I did. I put him down when you asked for feedback. I put the little fringe. No, I put the other wide receiver.
Listen,
down
I guess
there.
Sometimes you don't know.
Until you watch it. Until you know.
Yeah. So, but at least,
now we know.
And listen, sometimes it is important to find guys to put a red line through so you don't waste your time.
And
because if you don't know, you don't know to put a line through.
Unfortunately, when he doesn't get drafted, everybody's got a red line through him. So just know, Jordan Whittington. He'll be a great person to go buy a car from in Texas, but you won't be seeing him on the NFL field. Maybe the UFL? Maybe. But probably
maybe.
Not, because I don't know how he gets open there.
Or the EUFL.
That's so mean. And I'm so sorry, Jordan, but you know what's up. That's why you stayed in Texas as long as you could.
All right, next up.
To the NIL.
Ryan Flournoy, Southeast Missouri State wide receiver, 6'3", 202 pounds, 10 1/8".
Hey, if they got invited to the combine, they made the list, okay?
31 5.
Stop looking at me like that.
He is 24. He'll be 25.
If y'all want to go back to
in October,
scouting 24 guys, we can.
But everything I just said about Whittington, you could say about Ryan Flournoy.
Whoa. Let me get through my numbers. In the 40, he ran a 4.44.
I was going to say, he ran a fast 40. Doesn't show up on tape,
dude.
But he ran a fast
broad
40.
Jump.
1.53 in the 10-yard split. He had 132-inch broad jump.
That's 11 feet.
19 bench presses. Vertical of 39.5 inches. Woo. At Southeast Missouri State last year in 10 games, he had 57 receptions, 839 yards, and 6 touchdowns. 6 rushing attempts, 49 yards for an additional touchdown. Who's taking this beauty?
When you look at him, you're like, dude, that's a receiver.
He's yoked.
He's like a big dude. And I thought, you know, I thought that he, I thought his hands were okay. I thought he had good hands. But besides that, I mean, again, a guy who like he can't get off the line. If you play like on the line and you press him whatsoever, like he's not going anywhere. He seems like he's.
You know who I think he is secretly? I think he's AJ Brown's cousin that just like didn't get the good genetics because he like really tried to like he's got good athleticism stuff that just doesn't translate to anything on the
field. It's like he's got a broom duct taped to his back and like, or a pole. So like he just has to run.
He's too muscular. Many muscles.
Like you know those big dudes that walk down with their arms out like this, like, hey, bro. Like that's how he runs too. It's like, hey, bro. Like, I don't know, man. Like he's got no
refinement to his game. He's got a couple of tools. He's fast, right?
He's fast. He's strong.
I got a tool.
He's 24, almost 25 years old. He's got no time to develop the things that he needs to develop.
Yeah. If he hasn't figured out this yet far, like in his life, he's not figuring it out.
It's unfortunate. I'm not going to waste any more time talking about him.
Him and Winton should open a landscaping company together.
I thought they were selling cars, man.
Whatever they got to do to make
them both.
Yeah, all whatever. Right, yeah. I mean, they got college degrees. They'll go far.
Yep.
In life, not in football, though. They're, dude, not like, yeah, no upside whatsoever here. Like, you said Winden had a bad grade. Like, this guy has to be right there, right? Like,
This was the only player of all the players I don't have an actual score on because I only watched the two games.
Yeah. That's all you need to watch.
And it was one of those things where I was like, am I really going to go find two more games? Uh-oh. I think I know. So I didn't feel good to give him a score if I don't watch all four.
Okay. So score 0, which makes sense.
That feels right to me.
So I want to say like these last two shows we did like for the first half, like there's a couple guys in there, but for like, I can't wait to get in these next two shows or four shows because this class to be super deep. There's gotta be a lot of guys. We're going to be excited.
There are definitely more players that come up. The back end of these two shows were probably the weakest of the shows that we'll do. So it'll be a little deeper in some of the other shows.
I'm already looking at the names for next week and I'm already like excited because I watched a little tape on Malachi Corley. I really like what I saw there. Both Washingtons look nice. Xavier Worthy obviously is a burner. And we're going to be talking about, of course, Roman Dunze, Jerry Rice's son next week. So we got a lot to get into next week. We have two more shows of these wide receivers. So
I'm sure what he just said.
Jerry Rice's son.
I'll tell you afterward what I thought he said.
Okay.
Thucker and Thuck Attack.
You got to love that lisp.
I heard Jerry Rice's son. So
I did not hear that.
If Jared hears it, that's like...
Yeah. Especially because I was reading something.
This guy's not. And he's never listening.
Right.
Not with these three last receivers.
Then he probably heard it wrong. He probably said something else.
It's why we don't put Jared on film, because otherwise he's looking like Isaiah Williams at the line of scrimmage.
What is happening? Oh, gosh, we're taping.
I like tunnels. So we'll be back next week talking more wide receivers as we inch closer to the NFL draft, which will help define our overall rankings. We'll probably do like a bonus show at some point to give our pre-draft rankings overall,
We have a Nerd Herd show planned for that.
We're doing a Nerd Herd for our pre-draft overall rankings.
And woo. Cannot wait for that.
We even do like a mock draft one, too, beforehand.
We do. We have that scheduled, too.
Perfect.
God, it's almost like he doesn't know. He don't even look, do you?
Where am I supposed to look?
The schedule Garrett sends out.
You get a schedule?
Yeah, he's scheduled out the next 3 months or something.
Yeah. All kinds of schedules.
All right, when we log off, show me the schedule. All right, back next week. Peace out.
Adios. See you.